And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, so let me jump up back. I'm going to get back to the text messages because there's a bunch of them in here. Frank from Huntsville says, I think this global warming is the laundromat for all the liberals' money washing. Ooh, can I steal that line? That's good, man. Mark from Red Bay, how have we survived all of these apocalyptic events? I'm with you, brother. They're just always wrong. Jeff from Green Hill, what you got, man?
Jeff from Green Hill, he said, all this climate change crap has resulted in several more taxes on our taxpayers.
No doubt, because you know you got to have the money to pay for all of it.
Got to have the money.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Inflation Reduction Act has the Green New Deal mixed into it. What else we got? John from Huntsville says, if global warming is boiling the oceans, then why do I have to go to a restaurant to enjoy good seafood, a good seafood boil? Why can't I just pour a pack of Cajun seasoning in the ocean and take a giant spoon? Okay. Point taken. What else we got, man?
JT from Lacey Springs. Yeah. All those gloom and doom predictions proves the level of jackassery.
You got it.
There it was. Also, being along a water's edge, it shall be void of geese.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Charlene thanks you. Thank you very much. John from Brownsboro, if there's going to be a food shortage and a mass famine, it won't be the planet's climate. It'll be the political climate of Russia messing with the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. I agree. We're looking right now. And, oh, by the way, don't forget things like in Sweden or in Sri Lanka or in New Zealand, where they change what you're allowed to grow or how you're allowed to grow it, thereby basically curtailing part of the market. All in the name of green stuff.
Green stuff.
Yeah, they're putting the lid on green stuff by forcing the green stuff on us. It's just crazy.
Too much green stuff.
Too much green stuff, man. Mike from Eva, when the sky really does fall, there's going to be nobody left to believe it. The amount of hype is distracting. I agree. Let me get a couple more in here. What do you say?
Wayne from Vaultville.
Wait, go ahead.
Guys, I'm freaking out. The climate is different today than it was yesterday. What am I going to do?
Well, you live in Alabama. It's different than it was 10 minutes ago. Wait a few. Yeah, point taken. Robert from Harvest says we need to spend less time panicking, more time using logic. Our atmosphere is 0.0004 parts CO2. I cannot believe a smaller percentage increase of that small number would kill us all. I'm with you. I'm with you, man. Teresa from Town Creek says we can always eat crickets.
I got crickets. There we go. There's the crickets.
Nice. All right. Hey, let me jump over here to the Triple Dipper. So the very first one out the gate I'm doing is called the ESG Gunfight. So you've heard me talk about ESG on the show multiple times. ESG, environmental, social, and governance. And by the way, it's not a trend, it's a mandate. These giant wealth managers like BlackRock and Vanguard, and then giant bank corporations like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, our own regions, they are all in on the idea that corporate America, banking America, insurance America, that they need to be more about what do we do and not doing our business well. Now, they'll say, well, we want you to do both. Well, how about this? A bank, if you go read their bylaws, is designed to be a bank. If you go look at their corporate documents, you'll find that the bank is supposed to lend and retain and manage assets. That's what they do. And they do it for the sole reason of not only keeping the wheels of commerce going, but the real reason is to make money. Well, what happens when banks become activists? I mean, anybody out there in this listening audience who's ever owned a business, I'm a business guy. Right Side Radio is a business. My law firm is a business. I've worked in several other businesses along the way. Boomer, you've owned a business before. You know that banking is a huge deal. You got to have the ability to not only manage your assets, access your assets, but you also have to be able to occasionally float, which might mean a line of credit or something that you do to keep your assets moving in the right direction. What happens when the bank looks at you and goes, we don't like you. We don't like what you do. we're against the kind of things you stand for. It does not matter what your credit score is. We just don't like you. Is that okay?
No, absolutely. I was ready to jump in.
I just realized Boomer was engaging.
No, absolutely not. Again, it should go all the way back to you're a bank and you should be doing bank things.
Bank
not
things.
Worried about what we are doing. And if you don't like us or if your ESG score is not correct because of the business that I am in.
Yeah. I mean, let's say this. You owned a t-shirt company at one point, right?
Yes.
Okay, you owned a t-shirt company. Let's say that there's your t-shirt company and another one down the road, two t-shirt companies.
Yep.
One of them has good credit, one of them has bad credit. Which one gets the loan? Good credit,
good
right?
Good credit, yeah.
Good credit. That makes sense. What happens, though, if the bank has a policy that says, we don't work with t-shirt companies because they're not environmentally sound?
then we don't have any help.
Nobody gets a loan.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's what's happening with guns right now. That's exactly what's happening with guns. So here's an article, the first one I've got out the gate. I'll bring this up. New York Times ran a piece in May of this year, I mean, just a few weeks ago. And it's titled, Activist Investing Has Come for Fossil Fuels, But What About Guns? That's the headline. It says, on June 1st, the shareholders of the Connecticut-based gun maker Sturm Ruger log in to their company's virtual annual meeting, and they can vote on a shareholder proposal that would state that because of the inherent lethality of firearms, it's a gun manufacturer. And they've got a proposal by an activist shareholder that requires them, as a company, if it passed, to have to go and do a study on the human rights impacts of guns. So, first thing out the gate is ESG is encouraging people to invest in companies so they can become activists from within the shareholder meetings. And they're doing it. It doesn't mean they always change the dynamic. It doesn't mean they always stifle the flow or gear the company a different direction. But sometimes, though, ESG becomes such a thing that the shareholders begin to get a little scared of not doing something. We should support BLM. What happens if we don't? What happens if we don't? Well, the increasing focus, says this article, on ESG issues has led banks and other financial companies to pare back their financing of the dirtiest fossil fuels. It's also forced a myriad of companies to diversify their corporate boards by adding more women and minorities. So, yeah, sometimes ESG forces internal changes of the corporation. But what happens, though, when the ESG is focused on what you do? Well, that's when you start getting into trouble. Like, for instance, article goes on to say, big asset managers like BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and Charles Schwab, as well as the quantitative fund manager Renaissance Technologies, they all make up a big portion of the company Ruger's shareholders. Ruger, Smith & Wesson, I think, are two of the only major publicly owned gun manufacturers. And right now, you got major ESG shareholder companies that are in the mix with Ruger. A guy named Brian Beads, a BlackRock spokesman, argued that BlackRock's holdings of Ruger's did not mean the company had taken an active investment position on guns. Huh. However, if you look at the article a little further, it says BlackRock has found its own way to express concerns over gun companies' governance by doing things like engaging with gun makers to determine what their business practices are. What does that mean? Corporate boardroom guys from Ruger. Yeah, we own a bunch of your stock, so now you have to listen to us, and we want to talk to you because we're a little concerned about the way you're doing business. And all of a sudden, the boardroom feels like, oh, shoot, we got to take notice. And the fear sets in because what happens if they dump our stock? What happens if they do a short sale? What happens if they put us in a bad position? What happens if we can't get a loan? All right, listen to them, see what they have to say. That's what's happening right now. That's the first attack of ESG. But then here's the same company in May of this year again. I got this piece from the Winston-Salem Journal. Winston-Salem Journal up in North Carolina. Ruger CEO criticizes bank's reluctance to lend lend to firearms makers. Chief executive of firearms, Sturm Ruger again, said on Wednesday that challenges to gain loans with large traditional banks is hitting close to home. He said in their first quarter news earnings release, that they've been notified twice in the past 5 years by two of the nation's largest banks, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, that they would not provide Sturm Ruger with any credit because of the lawful products that we design, manufacture, and sell. In other words, Wells Fargo and Bank of America have told Ruger, we're not going to do business with you because of what you do for a living. Guns. Second Amendment. If you can't curtail the Second Amendment in court, what do? You just make it harder to get a gun and the wheels of commerce begin to slow down. So what's changed, this article says from Winston-Salem Journal, is that many financial institutions have now amended their lending policies to reflect ESG standards. Oh, so it's becoming a thing. Ruger added some context during an analyst conference call that included claiming that they had been the target of discriminatory actions by two of the nation's largest banks. Both of these banks, they said, again, that's Bank of America and Wells Fargo, decided to change course and terminate their extension of credit to us because of the lawful products that our 1,900 dedicated employees design, manufacture, and sell. See, that's a messed up situation, y'all. That is an absolute attack on the Second Amendment through the back door. There is a federal act Ruger is touting that there's up in D.C. right now. It's called the Firearm Industry Non-Discrimination or FIND Act. We'll see where it goes. But until we win back the House, Senate, and the presidency, we're not going to get that bill through, I can just tell you. All right, the ESG gunfight. We'll take a break right now. I'll come back and tell you more about it because, yeah, that's the deal. They want your Second Amendment rights. And if they can't get them in the courts, if they can't get you to stop buying guns, then they're going to make it harder for gun manufacturers to even exist by just making their business life more difficult. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense a superpower. I had several interesting texts there. So just a moment ago, I had somebody, Bob from Decatur. Bob from Decatur texted in. He says, could you list a few good banks that are not woke and just doing banking? Well, so first of all, I will say this is not an endorsement. Bob, I have to be careful with this. But I'll just tell you in a general sense, and I gave you a couple of thoughts in the text messages, Bob. But in the general sense, I'll be honest with you, everybody out there, I've gotten very fond of what I would call more like hometown banking, you know, the smaller chains that are the local regional banks. And I say that because they are far more amenable. They typically have more of a hometown feel, and they're not locked up in this big corporate, you know, we're too big to fail kind of woke mentality more often than not. So anyway, I say all that to say, I'm not saying don't go to Wells Fargo or whatever, make your own choices there. But if you're asking my opinion, what do I do? I'm a big fan of localized, more like hometown banking, especially the ones that are just kind of regional. Like you've got, this is not an endorsement, but I'm just saying I know of one bank, People's Bank, that is basically across North Alabama, does a great job. And they have offices in a variety of places. You can almost always find one if you need to. Brian from Birmingham texted in, says, Ruger ought to ask BlackRock and the banks, what kind of guns do your private security guard details carry? Yeah, there you go. That's absolutely. Butch from Athens, he says, he gives me a book title, Apocalypse Now? Anyway. Okay, I can't understand what your text is saying to me, bud, so I'll just come back to it later. Gina from Athens says, so Wells Fargo and Bank of America are financial institutions we should not do business with? I did not say that. I just told you they won't do business with Ruger. How about that? They don't like gun companies is what Ruger says. So I got an article here from American Banker. This is interesting. So here we are in the state of Alabama. We just passed an anti-ESG bill. Just got it through. I mean, the governor signed it, I think, last week. So we passed an anti-ESG bill. Then you go to California. Article here from American Banker in February of this year. A bill introduced in California's legislature would prohibit banks or lenders with business customers that manufacture firearms from working on the state's public finances. So, in other words, we did just the opposite. We said, we will not do business as a state with banks that refuse to do business with our people. And we will not do state contracts if you're going to be implementing ESG. And then in California, they introduced us the opposite. If you're a bank and you've got a gun company as one of your clients, you will not do state work. Wow. I mean, it's not like they're manufacturing fentanyl and killing kids, all right? How about you care about something that makes sense? Well, I don't care what the law says. Even though you're doing something legal, we're going to not do business with you. Whatever. And then, you know, of course, I don't know if it passed. I doubt if it passed. But nonetheless, the very idea that somebody would drop a bill that says something like that is a clear indication that they got trouble in California. Bank of America, story here on Bloomberg Wire, came out of the Dallas Morning News just a couple years ago. Bank of America and Citigroup, the top two underwriters in the $3.9 trillion municipal bond market, are at risk of getting shut out of Texas because of a push by Republican state lawmakers. So Texas Republicans were pushing an ESG bill, much like we have in Alabama. Under that bill, it said that companies with 10 employees or more seeking a government contract worth at least $100,000 would have to verify in writing that they do not have a policy that discriminates against firearms and ammunition industries. Any company, it says, that uses financial pressure to limit Texans' ability to purchase guns or ammunition will not be tolerated. Okay, they're taking the stand. However, what that basically means is Bank of America, which ran a thing in 2018 saying it would stop making new loans to companies that make military-style rifles, they may not do business with Texas. And then there's the fact that, Citigroup? Citigroup has policies in place that are discriminatory against the gun manufacturers. Bank of America also announced, the lawmaker who authored the bill, Giovanni Capriglione. Let me try that again. Giovanni Capriglione. There you go. The lawmaker. Let me show you my little friend. There you go. The lawmaker who authored the House bill said in a written response to questions from Bloomberg News that he proposed the bill because there was a shortage of ammunition in the state caused by the discriminatory policies of banks. I'm telling you, man, they're coming after your Second Amendment straight through the back door. They are not even trying to pretend either. They're saying, well, our ESG scorecard indicates that we need to take a firmer stance against the Second Amendment, so we're not going to loan money to companies that do things lawfully like, make guns and ammo. Unbelievable. Last thing I got here on this whole section, story off the Washington Examiner, April of this year. Representative Andy Barr introduced legislation on Thursday that would prevent big banks from refusing or limiting financial services to certain businesses, such as those in the fossil fuel industry, which also includes, by the way, guns. The legislation is meant to codify the core strictures of the Fair Access Rule, which was developed under the Trump administration. So the Fair Access Rule did not allow discrimination in banking. But it says just days after President Joe Biden was sworn into office, he halted publication of the Fair Access Rule. A win for environmental groups and others who view ESG as a way that finance can help cause social change. Well, that's just it. They're weaponizing the banks. As I finish this section up, I'll just tell you, they're weaponizing the banks. They know exactly what they're doing. They're determined right now to curtail your civil liberties. And if they can't get them stripped away from you in court, if they can't get them stripped away from you in your state legislature, then they'll go after the banks. And the banks will then try to make it far more difficult for the gun manufacturers and the ammo manufacturers to even do business. Folks, this is absolute, this is an ESG gunfight. And be aware. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I'm going to go ahead and call that the end of Dipper number one. Wow. Moving right along. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side.